Greek god of war, was cheerily adopted. Spliced with rabies, the virus enrages those it infects, whose mission then becomes one of propagation, spreading it to others. The trick had been to create a strain hardy enough to infect a large area, yet with a low enough persistence that Allied forces could safely move into the area soon afterward. The general idea was that an area could be rapidly infected through an initial contact with the virus or infected saliva. In theory, that would destabilize any populated area. The masterpiece component was that the infected would enter a trance-like state within hours of not finding new victims, allowing friendly forces to move into the area and clean up. The original focus was on triggering death after hours of inactivity, but they couldn't get that component to work with any degree of reliability. The virus either became unstable or it quickly mutated. The problem lay in the need for the virus to be highly contagious. Developing a lethal virus with a highly infectious nature was easy, but those prototypes either killed immediately or took days to do so. Developing an organism that would cause death within hours while also sustaining the other desired effects had proven problematic. Ultimately, they had to forego lethality. Once that was removed, the virus became stable and they were able to effectively introduce the trance state. In order to accentuate a victim's ability to locate and infect others, genetic components were included to enhance low-light vision by altering the mix of rods and cones of the retina. In all, it was a masterpiece of viral splicing, and from a completely scientific point of view, Koenig's pride and joy. "That's a tricky one," Koenig responds. "The funding for that one comes through the black budget, but if it were ever discovered that we held it back, well, shit rolls downhill and I'm sitting at the bottom." "So," Skier says. Koenig sighs deeply. "Yes, send it with the others, but only to select labs. Contact the labs to let them know what's going on and set up deliveries. Inform the CDC that we're transporting live samples. God help us all." Skier comes to attention and salutes. "Yes, sir." Chapter 1. Pineville University, September 2nd. Charlie looks up as the door to the biology department admin office opens. One of the senior interns pokes his head in and says, "Hey, Charlie, I just had a call from receiving. They say there's a delivery. Head down and sign for it, will ya? I have class in 20 minutes, man. Can you get someone else?" "No, just go down, pick it up, and take it over to whatever lab it's for. You'll have plenty of time." Charlie Nobel sighs dramatically. As the junior member of the team of interns in the biology department, he's often the gopher guy. The others who are actually working on their theses always seek him out to run whatever errands they've been assigned. As a biology junior, Charlie is a long way from being at their level. As a matter of fact, he's not really an intern at all, but merely working off part of his tuition grant through the work-study program. The biology staff, not really knowing what else to do with him, made him an intern. He doesn't get to work on any research, but he's on the periphery and hopes that the knowledge he gains will give him a boost in his classes. That is, if he wasn't always being sent out for this or that. As the other intern is about to leave, he turns and adds, "Oh, and it's at our receiving door, not the school's main one." "Fine, where do I take it?" Charlie says, exasperated. "Like I said, wherever it's addressed to," the intern states, and leaves, closing the door behind him. Charlie glances at his watch, seeing the minutes swim past. He'll be lucky to make it to his class in time. It's one of his lesser classes and one he'll pass with ease, but shit, he hates to be late. In his mind, it's better to not show at all than to be late. Making his way down to the small receiving door, he opens it and is surprised to see a host of black suits waiting just outside. Several dark SUVs are parked in the small receiving lot. Seeing a dozen well-built men scanning the lot makes Charlie feel as if he's stepped into some espionage movie. Is all Charlie is able to mumble as two of the suited figures approach. "You'll have to sign for this," one states, holding a clipboard. "But I'm going to have to see some identification first." Charlie fumbles for his wallet, eventually plucking it from his pocket and handing his driver's license to the taller, tanned man hidden behind dark sunglasses. Snatching the ID from his fingers, the man begins copying information onto his clipboard. Without an